I don't know what you've lost this last year. You may have lost a loved one. You may have lost your health. And you are grieving. And you cannot see that every step of the way, Jesus has been walking with you. You have never been alone. You have never been by yourself. That God is with you, walking with you, but your eyes are blinded. You can't see it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick makes it possible for anyone to study and understand what the Word of God really says. Whether you've just started studying the Bible, you've been studying for a while, or you're a biblical scholar, there's something for you in this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that is the perfect complement to this audio series called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit, which includes a DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your own study time or your time with your small group. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Seeing What God Wants Me to See.
We pick the story up in verse 15, Luke 24. Suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them, these two disciples, and began walking beside them. But they didn't know who he was because God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus said, "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something. What are you so concerned about?" Because they're talking about the crucifixion and all that's going on, chaos in Jerusalem. They stopped short, sadness written on their faces. And then Cleopas said, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days." Jesus said, "What things?" He's playing dumb. Okay, obviously he knows what's going on. Jesus was the center of attention. He goes, "What things?" And the disciples said, "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did wonderful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders arrested him, handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had thought he was the Messiah." And so we thought this guy was God, but he's dead now. We had thought he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. That all happened 3 days ago, they continued. Then some women were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Now some of our guys, some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, Jesus' body was gone, just as the women had said. So they're all confused. They haven't seen Jesus. He's walking right there with them, but they haven't seen him yet. And they're, "No, I don't know what to believe." Then Jesus said, "You are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering into his time of glory?" Then Jesus quoted passages from the writings of Moses. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And quoted all of the prophets. That's the Old Testament. Explaining what all the scriptures said about him. Now, I said last week, a lot of people think that the Old Testament is about Israel and the New Testament is about Jesus. Wrong. It's all about Jesus from cover to cover. This is a Jesus book. And the first part of the book tells you it's coming. He's coming. And you see Jesus in allusions and in analogies and in metaphors and in prophecies and in statements and in predictions. He's all through every chapter of the Bible. And then we find the Gospels where you hear the stories of Jesus. And then we have the book of Acts, which is what happened after Jesus goes back to heaven and the church grows. And then all the letters, which is how we're supposed to live since then. But it's all about Jesus. Now it says, by this time, these two disciples and Jesus are nearing Emmaus, the city, and the end of their journey. And Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with them. And since it was getting late, so he, Jesus, went home with them. Now, they still don't recognize him. As they sat down to eat, Jesus took a small loaf of bread, just like he did in the Last Supper. And he asked God to bless it, just like in the Last Supper. And he broke it, and he gave it to them. And verse 31 on your outline, then their eyes were opened. Circle that phrase. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Holy guacamole, it's Jesus. We've been walking with him all day. We've been talking to him. We've been telling him what we saw, and he's been explaining to us the meaning of it. And now he's been eating dinner with us. What in the world? Their eyes were opened. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he disappears from their sight. Now that would be a mind blower. The guy you think is God is crucified and died. You go, well, we missed that one. Whew. We thought that guy was God. And then we hear he's been resurrected, but we really don't believe it. And then a guy, stranger, walks along with us, and then he breaks the bread, and all of a sudden we realize, it's him. It's him. And just as soon as we recognize it's him, bam, he disappears. That was illumination. In their grief, they could not see Jesus was with them. They had this enormous loss, and they couldn't see. They just couldn't see it. They needed illumination.
We'll continue our series, 40 Days in the Word, in just a few moments. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. A personal 40 Days in the Word journal. And Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How Can We Know the Bible Came from God? And a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this amazing study tool. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 99000. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
I don't know what you've lost this last year. You may have lost a loved one. You may have lost your health. And you are grieving. And you cannot see that every step of the way, Jesus has been walking with you. You have never been alone. You have never been by yourself. That God is with you, walking with you, but your eyes are blinded. You can't see it. Now do you realize how important illumination is? Batteries included. Without illumination, you just look at a book and a lot of it doesn't make sense. It's just words on a page. Great story, fine. But when God opens your eyes, bam, I see the solution to my problems. Bam, I see the barrier to my progress. Bam, I see the protection that God has for all the things that are attacking me. And bam, I see He's with me all the time. How do I get that kind of illumination? You must do five things. Can you write fast? All right, write fast. Five things to get your eyes open, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so He can illuminate, so He can photizo, so He can enlighten your mind. Number one, this one's obviously basic. I must begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. If you don't have this one, you are spiritually blind and you don't have any hope of seeing things from God's point of view. You gotta get the connection first. You can't just know about Jesus, you gotta know Him. You gotta have a relationship. You gotta be born again. You've got to be saved. You must accept His salvation. And until you begin that relationship, you're blind. Sorry. You can only see from a human viewpoint. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit, that means he's not born again, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of man, Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them. Underline that. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This is why it is nonsense to try to expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. You can make all the laws in the world to make people act and do the right thing, but they're not going to do it because it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. My eyes are blinded until I have the connection with God. Look up here on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news. They just can't see it. I didn't see it. You didn't see it. None of us saw it until we stepped across the line. And then all of a sudden, boom, the blinders came off. That's why Jesus says in John 3:3, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God. You can't see what God's doing until he is born again. Now, if you haven't had that yet, we're going to settle that one at the end of this service today. So hang on. Number two, the second thing you have to do is I must ask God in faith to open my eyes. I ask God in faith to open my eyes. And I pray Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Anybody ever heard that verse? That's this week's memory verse. Let's say it together. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalm 119, 18. Now, why did I have you memorize that last week? Because I want you to be able to pray it every day when you open your Bible. It's the first thing you should pray. Before you even read the Bible, you need batteries included. You need the illumination. And you need to say, Lord, before I even read this, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, in your word, whatever. Now, here's the point. There are wonderful things in this book. It's filled with wonder-filled things. But when you don't see them, it's not the Bible's fault. It's because you're blind. You can't see the wonder-filled things until your eyes have been opened. So if your eyes are not open, you're going to read the Bible and go, I don't get it. It just seems dull. It seems blind. I just don't get it. Because you're not seeing. You must have your, it takes more than revelation. It takes illumination. And so, by the way, my 2-year-old grandson, Cole, memorized this verse this week. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalm 119, 18. So if you have a hard time remembering it, you got a real problem. This is not like memorizing the Gettysburg Address. It's half a sentence. And by the way, you memorize with your ear, not with your eyes. If you just read a verse over and over, you're never going to memorize it. You have to say it aloud. It is by saying it aloud over and over, saying it aloud while you're in the car driving, while you're shaving, taking a shower, whatever. Don't say it in your sleep because you wake up somebody probably. But You memorize through your ear. Now, when you ask God in faith, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, you have to ask in faith. Next verse, James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, Lord, I need wisdom on this business deal. I need wisdom with my kids. I need wisdom on my health. I need wisdom about whether to say yes or no, whether to hold on or let go. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. I ask God in faith. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask, seek, and knock. First letter, A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. He's just saying you need to ask. And what is God's promise? Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I'll show you which way to go. I will counsel you. I will watch over you. But I got to ask in faith for God to open my eyes. Number three, I come with a humble attitude. I come with a humble attitude. If I come to the Word of God and I just go, I already got it all figured out. I don't really need God's help on this marriage issue. I don't really need God's help on this financial issue. Then you're not gonna get anything. Your eyes are going to be closed. You come with a humble attitude. Psalm 25:9. He guides, and that's what you need. You need guidance this week. He guides the humble. And if you be humble, God will guide you in what? In what is right, and teaches them his way. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord, not in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Like, here's what I think I ought to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in your sexual ways. Acknowledge him in your financial ways. Acknowledge in your career ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your paths straight. He'll point you on the path to success. I ask God in faith to open my eyes. I come with a humble attitude. Number four, this is a big one. I cleanse my heart of sin and conflict. I cleanse my heart of sin and conflict. I cannot get my eyes opened if my body and mind is full of junk. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You can't see it unless your heart is pure. Now, that doesn't mean perfect. If only God illuminated the minds of people who are perfect, nothing would happen. None of us are perfect. Pure doesn't mean perfect. Pure in heart means I'm caught up to date on my confession. There's nothing between me and God. Yeah, God, I agree. That was right. That was wrong. And you're right. And I just confess. I don't allow the garbage to pile up in my life. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. If I'm over here and I'm watching or reading a bunch of pornography, and then I come and say, now, God, I need some instructions on what to do with my job. It ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. If I'm out here filling my mind with garbage, trashy novels and magazines and movies and TV shows and just junk, and I'm filling my mind with bitterness and lust and resentment and guilt and anger and jealousy and envy, all that stuff in my mind, I'm not going to see it. I must have a clear conscience. I must cleanse my heart of sin, and not just sin, but conflict. Notice the next verse, 1 John 2:11. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, and he walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going. Whoa. You want to know why you don't know where you're going? Because you got unresolved conflict in your life. That's why you don't know where you're going. Because you're in darkness. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness, walks around in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. That means if I'm out of whack relationally, I'm not going to get anything out of the Word. It's just going to be print on the page. I'm going to read the stories. I'm going to read the verses. It's not going to do anything. I'm not going to have the light come on. I'm not going to have the aha, eureka, that makes sense. I got it. Why? Because there's relational conflict. The Bible says you cannot be right with God and wrong with others. You cannot love God and hate others. You cannot be reconciled to God and not be reconciled with others. That's why the Bible says if you got something wrong with a brother, it said when you come to church and you bring an offering, he says, you got something wrong with somebody, or they got it wrong with you, you leave your offering there, you go make it right with that person, and then you come back and you finish your worship. Because you cannot worship God while you're out of whack with somebody else. So if you really want your mind open, you want to see the solution to your problems and the barriers to your progress and the defenses to your attackers and the fact that God is with you, you may need to make a phone call this afternoon. Or write a letter. You may need to forgive somebody. You may need to ask forgiveness. You mean to let somebody off the hook. You say, well, I can't let go of that grudge. Listen, you don't hold a grudge. It holds you. It holds you in a self-imposed prison of pain. Let it go. Because until you do, you are blind. And you cannot see with spiritual eyes. Ask God to open my eyes. Come with a humble attitude. Cleanse my heart of sin and conflict. And number five, I commit in advance to do what God says. This is unconditional obedience. I say, God, I'm getting ready to sit down here, and I need you to teach me what I need to do this week with my kids and my wife and my family and my business. And I need you to teach me. And I'm telling you in advance that I'm going to do what you want me to do, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I don't understand it, even when I don't agree, even when it isn't popular, even when it isn't easy. I'm saying yes, even before you tell me what to do. Psalm 119, 33 and 34. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, and then I will keep them. See the promise, the commitment? I will keep them. You just teach me, and I'll do it. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law, and I will obey it with all my heart. Whatever you show me, I'm going to act on it. Now, why? Because acting on it is the bottom line. And God's not going to give you step two until you act on step one.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com or iTunes and download our podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement. Pastor Rick Warren says that the ultimate purpose of the Bible is to change our lives, and that the road to change begins with studying God's Word. Rick says that it's not enough just to love the Word and learn the Word. He says we must live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes a 6-video session DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time, a personal 40 Days in the Word journal, and Bible verse memorization cards, with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God, and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks so much for your financial support of Daily Hope. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Have you ever noticed that your day goes better when you start with God's Word? That's been true in my life, and I'm certain it'll make a difference in your life too when you choose to get into God's Word first thing every day. It's one of the most important habits you can develop. Here's an email from a man named Jeremy who says connecting with God every morning has made such a big difference in his life. He says, you know, Rick, Daily Hope fills my mind with truth when I begin each day at 3 a.m. Wow. I realize that Daily Hope helps fill my mind with the good stuff and crowds out all the negative, because truth and hope have really changed my attitude throughout the day. So you can take it from Jeremy. God's Word at the start of your day will change your day in a positive way. Thanks for listening today, everybody. I love you. I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you. And we'll see you next time on Daily Hope.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.